Because you know what, Sean? I'm just sick of Xbox buying everything, man.
Yeah, man.
They're just, what are they gonna, what's next?
What's next?
Zynga? Everybody, Buzzinga. Welcome to the console war room.
Oh, are we doing it already?
Yeah, that's why I started. I'm not even
recording or anything.
That's fine. I have it all here on the OBS. Nothing's ever gone wrong when I've done it this way.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh man, are you serious?
Yeah, we're just going with it. Just trust me. Can you just trust me? Worst case scenario, I have a good conversation with my friend. Best case scenario. Everybody hears this awesome conversation I'm having with my friend Sean Capri of the Xbox Drive.
Both are equal scenarios. We are gonna fight. This is finally happening. This joke, this ruse, this thing that we're like, oh, it's a console war. Ha ha, tee hee, console wars are dumb.
We're still friends.
Let's fight.
Okay.
This is supposed to be a monthly thing, but we're kind of like, this has to happen. We both hit each other up on the Discord. Yeah. We both said the same thing at the exact same time. Console war room when? Tonight. It's happening now.
Tonight.
I woke up this morning. I had a terrible sleep. I had a terrible day yesterday. I botched something pretty good. Uh-oh. And I felt sick to my stomach and I just needed, you know, time to pass and sweet I couldn't rooms. Get out of my head. I was up all night. I slept on a recliner chair. I woke up because YouTube was on the TV and I didn't really get any good sleep. At 6 o'clock in the morning, I look at, there's a rumor that Xbox bought Activision. I'm like, well, that seems to be strange. That's weird. Moments later, I see another one saying, reports out of Wall Street Journal are this. And then Xbox makes it official. It all happened very fast this morning, Babbitt. Where were you when you heard the news?
I woke up to, me reading this article and going, huh, this seems a little, this seems fishy. This isn't it.
It seems fake. It seems too big.
Yeah. And then, like, everybody's talking about it in this chat I'm in. I'm like, okay, huh. All right. I'm unfazed.
He's picking up.
Like, I'm literally, because I literally look at it, I'm like, how does this affect me? And, conscious Joe's just like, you only play Blizzard games on PC. You don't mess with Call of Duty anymore. This doesn't affect you one bit. And I got up.
That's crazy. And I think this is where we're going to fight.
And I start walking down the stairs, and my brother goes, Joe. Xbox just bought Activision. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, Dan, my friends and I were just talking about it. He's like, son of a bitch, how? You just woke up. And he was the one. And that's how I knew it was like, I get it. This was going to be big news. But like, oh, crap. People that are outside the industry are now taking notes.
Yeah. I mean, $70 billion. I talked about it so much today with random people. I can't not talk about this thing. I had to I jumped on stream. I don't know if you realize this. I was 6:30 in the morning. I rolled out of what I would like to call bed. It was not a bed. It was furniture. Rolled out of furniture. Yeah. And I'm like, I need to talk about this. And I was here with blankets rolling the sleep out of my eyes going like, this is enormous. This is probably as big as it gets. Mm-hmm. I think. So I mean, we can get into whether or not it registers for people, which I think is interesting on what else is it going to take, Joe? Why don't we just jump into this?
Sure.
It's like, you know, and let me just say this. Please. I think the most immediate impact is that Call of Duty and its like are going to be on Game Pass. That's probably the biggest thing. There's going to be exclusive stuff that comes down the line, but the thing that people are going to feel first is kind of a benefit to gamers is that you're going to get it on Game Pass, my friend.
Yep.
So that's good. But who cares about Call of Duty? It's dead.
I mean, nobody plays it, right? Yeah, that's a goddamn lie. No, this is gigantic. Okay. And I'll start from here. This is why I didn't like the news in the beginning. And shout out to Luke Lore, who actually later sold me on it. First, I don't like the idea of big corporations just straight up buying big corporations. There's this feeling in my heart of hearts when I went to buy a PlayStation, right? Or the reason why I'm on that ecosystem, and you probably heard this on the Trophy Room, but I'll repeat it here. The reason why I bought one was because they sold me on their ecosystem by creating, you know, the Uncharted's, the Last of Us, your God of Wars, you name it. This feels like I wanted to be in that ecosystem because I wanted to, whereas right now it feels like I don't want to be on Xbox's ecosystem. I have to. And that's a different feeling that I will probably get accustomed to later. But to me, the big issue for me, Sean, is just how, and I'm going to be honest, I think the first CEO talk we've ever heard Phil Spencer say was back in November. We're going to reevaluate our relationship with Activision.
Man, I'm so glad you brought it up. That's so fascinating.
And it was just literally just to take the opportunity to buy them. And it feels like, you know, someone literally just tweeted at me going like, it just feels like the rich get richer and we're just playing their game. It's like there's no consequences to this guy who has and knew that evil shit was happening in his company and protected those people. And he's going to profit hundreds, if not billions of dollars from this deal. So it's like, oh, so you're evaluated it by giving him a shit ton of money so he can leave. That was my initial thought of it.
It's hard not to separate yourself from that. Like, of course, this is, I think everybody, a lot of people, the first takes I was seeing was, well, good, now they can fix what's going on with Activision, which I think is probably going to happen. I think it even, I'm no scientist, but I think that this sort of changes even the reporting structure. You don't report to a board, you report to Phil Spencer, CEO of gaming at Xbox or whatever the hell, nice new title that he's got over there. So yeah, it changes things. The individual doesn't get the consequences that perhaps he probably deserves. I think we can all like agree to that. But I think the silver lining that I think that I like to get out of this is like maybe this hastens some of the change and just sort of like hopefully closes a bit of a chapter on this nasty part of the book of where we've been over the last little while. Like how does, where else does that even go without Microsoft kind of like coming in and going like, now he's out. Like, yes, he's getting a giant bunch of money and that's a whole thing and that sucks. And nobody, I'm not trying to say that I like that, but at least he's out. Right. Like he could have written his own destiny for the next however many years and going like, we'll investigate, we'll blah, blah, blah. And who knows how it could have even gotten more nasty, honestly, right, as testimonials and everything kind of could have come out to make sure that the point was really driven home. I think this might be a little side benefit of it. Now he doesn't have to do anything for the rest of his life. He just can swim in his pool of money like Scrooge McDuck.
And out of the reports, that was pretty much what it was like, our stocks are going down. We don't have confidence in you. This seems like the best course of action.
Do you think, okay, so you mentioned that the thing that Phil said that they have to reevaluate their relationship. That's all he said. It was very cryptic, but kind of like people kind of like read into it one way, but of course he couldn't have said anything more at the time. Like the timing of this, yes, probably the final decision was around like the current situation with Activision, but you got to think like something like this, like the moves are in place maybe a little longer than that, but I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about this. It's a lot of money. Yeah. I think it would be longer than a couple of months and in reaction to, like, I'd like to think that a $70 billion decision doesn't get made with a knee-jerk reaction to the shit that was going down with Activision and Bobby Kotick and allegations and all these things.
Crazier things have happened, Sean.
I suppose.
All right. So that's the reason why I'm not digging it. But
sure.
At the same flip of the coin here, this changes things.
Did I make it a little shinier? Did I make it a little?
No, like, I mean, that's what Luke says. Like, what are you gonna, he's, no matter what, he's on his friend Epstein's Island, which again, they were personal friends. So like, no matter what, he's relaxing, right? Yeah. No matter what, he's an awful human being. The best course of action is hopefully there's an afterlife and he goes to hell. Like, that's literally it. That's all he can hope.
That's just it. And like I said, attack. Like, if I'm not being clear, like this, I just feel like this gets him out sooner and people who work there feel safer sooner is like really like the closing part that I should put on that.
Yeah. It also is then also this weird part of like what happens to unionization. Cause like we got really close and now how does this change halt it?
Yeah.
And that's another thing to kind of consider. So there's a lot of things here. Mm-hmm, there's a lot of things to consider here. And that's why, like, this deal to me is a bit of a mixed bag in the more personal side, my feeling side of things. But this is huge. And the more, like, that I start talking to folks about the IP that Activision actually has but don't use for some fucking reason, You know, it gets me thinking of, yeah, this is actually a bigger get than I was letting on. It wasn't just Call of Duty, right? This wasn't just a World of Warcraft. How do you think this changes? I think the first thing is, you know, what is going exclusive here, Sean?
I think in the short term, nothing. I think, like, just like Bethesda, it's going to be a long time before really anybody feels this in any sort of real way. I think some of the jokes that a lot of people were making, which is probably true, is that Sony will continue to pay for Call of Duty exclusivity, maps and early access and blah, blah, blah. But, like, the thing that we have to even say maybe as early as possible, and this is, like, the deal doesn't close and it has no potential of closing until sometime in, like, 2023, June maybe of 2023. And so, like, everybody's like, I think there were some very quick articles that says Microsoft just inherited all these problems. It's like they don't even touch this company until then. Like, they don't have any reporting structure. There's no, like, email exchanges. There's none of that stuff. Right. So maybe on a PR perspective, maybe they have inherited. But in a real sense, they haven't really they're not together at all. No. And so that impacts exclusivity in that, yeah, probably nothing until 2024, 2025, maybe.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's, like, so far away. We think it's so soon, but it is far. And I think when it comes to what's exclusive, I think if Diablo comes out, I think.
I don't think so.
Maybe Diablo is like the last Blizzard game on a PlayStation. But I think there are two games that stay multi-platform, realistically. And one has to and one doesn't. But I'll get into that. The one game from Blizzard that I think is absolutely staying multi-platform is Overwatch. Yeah. That community is hurting. It's dying. You could even argue it's dead. That thing needs a population and it needs people on it. And though Game Pass is huge, it needs as many platforms that can play it as possible. So I think you're that's saying, staying.
So clarify, Overwatch and or Overwatch 2.
And or Overwatch 2, whatever.
So whenever Overwatch 2 comes out, even if it's sometime like significantly far after this takeover, you think still, I agree. I just wanted to, I just want to kind of clarify.
Diablo is a big if and maybe, but I don't think it ever had a clear that's coming out on PlayStation, this, that, and the other thing. But it also depends on the deal that's been put in place prior to this deal. So who knows? But when it comes down to the shit that we really care about, because when I look at Blizzard, it's like a lot of PC games, a lot of games I was going to already play on PC, right? So for me as a console player, and even as a PlayStation player, I don't really care all too much in the grand scheme of things. Where I think the thing that's definitely impacting Xbox or PlayStation, is it King, because they're not doing mobile, is Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ains,
the new home of Call of Duty is PlayStation.
And the new,
you knew as soon as they said that was just like, that is a moment that can be ruined in like with another transaction, really.
But now here's the thing, and I want to know your thoughts on this, because I literally got off the call with Ains before I got on this one. Is, I think Call of Duty for the most part is staying and probably being used as a bargaining chip. Think about it like this. How much money does Call of Duty make PlayStation every year, every month? Yeah,
significant. It's number one. I don't know the dollars, but
number big two. Time. It's number, right? It is the top-selling game year in, year out. And now Xbox has a negotiating tool to say, hey, PlayStation, remember when you said you wouldn't do a Game Pass?
Oh, man. Yeah.
That is probably Microsoft's in, because, Call of Duty does FU numbers. So
That's really what this is. This is an FU deal kind of thing. Like, this is like FU dollars being swung, big D money being swung around and everything. Phil Spencer just kind of doing whatever he wants. This is like half of Microsoft's cash reserve here. And this is the thing that I wanted to kind of explore, but I think I was still rolling the sleep out of my eyes this morning, was like, this is there. It's a bigger move than what we're even like what we were discussing this morning. It's like, it's $70 billion yes, you can theoretically make Call of Duty exclusive, but it's like, that still never really felt enough. Even though, even something as big as Call of Duty, something as big as World of Warcraft, like all these things, for what, I don't know, like the number is just too big for me to go like, they can, they have other ways of getting things exclusive. Sony does it all the time and they do a great job at it. Suddenly you bring this up as like a piece of like a leverage or bargaining chip. That starts to make more sense to me.
Yeah.
To like even like weasel their way into PlayStation's ecosystem. Like it does kind of take hundreds of billions of dollars to really like make that kind of wedge in the door and go like, maybe we can earn a seat at the table and start for you to like maybe consider this. Otherwise, yeah, Call of Duty, all these things, you got to be on Xbox or PC for this. And what is PlayStation kind of left with now? If it's okay to kind of like take this line of thinking, PlayStation and Nintendo, Japanese companies. Nintendo arguably has proven that you don't need Activision, and in some ways, and to a certain degree, you don't need Bethesda either. You just need a stellar first party lineup and great hardware and good marketing strategy, and you can do just fine. Is it possible for PlayStation to exist in that light with their lineup of first party studios that they're so great at cultivating? Mm-hmm. And you just like, you buy a PlayStation and you get The Last of Us 5 and Uncharted 16 and Ratchet and Clank and all the other 40 games that Insomniac is going to put out each and every year. Like, is that a future that you can see, or do they just get snuffed out by this?
I really want to be, you know, I put out a meme on the Trophy Room Twitter of like Jim Ryan in HQ, and it's Mr. Krabs confused looking around the room. It's like, I want to know when PlayStation found out.
Yeah. Like just with all the rest of us, guaranteed.
Yeah. And that's definitely changed the way that they're viewing everything. Like, I bet their reality is just different. Because I saw some people that I thought would know and go, whoa. And I'm like, oh wow, okay. So this was sudden.
Secret. Yeah. Yeah, and that may be the thing, like that it didn't leak, that it had to be. And Microsoft, I think, did once again a great job of, oh, there's mumblings out there, and mm-hmm. they had their piece out. They had, yep, this is real. And there's probably some sort of like stock reason why they must have some sort of like obligation to,
oh, they have to, they're a publicly traded company, they have to
exactly tell you, yeah, that they, so have. Like that was great, you know, they had that kind of like tied down. But yeah, like it's not like PlayStation wasn't getting ready to make any moves pretty soon here. They're pulling these cards off retail shelves. They're like, we're getting ready for it, like grab all those,
and we're all excited for cards. It. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing, to answer your first question. That's
their big play of 2022. Are
they okay with not being the leader anymore? Because let's be real.
That's not necessarily my question. My question is, can they exist like Nintendo exists in that first party is still like, Xbox is buying all these things away, and slowly but surely a lot of these cross-platform games are going to be home to Xbox, but they can't buy away Uncharted and The Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima and God of War and all these things. Like, the first party lineup on PlayStation is bonkers, dude. There's no getting around it. And anytime, I'm so glad that you and I are friends, because we can have like piece this of kind shit. Of real conversation, you son of a bitch. like, we can have like these. I would believe you if you said, like, I still buy PlayStation because I want to play all these games. Like, that's a realistic, I think, outcome out of this. Can PlayStation exist in that? Even if Xbox buys all the other things away, is there a future, a long-term future for PlayStation if Xbox and Microsoft buy up, like they keep this up and they keep going?
So that's the other thing. It's like everybody's screaming Monopoly. It's not that.
Yeah.
Legally, yeah, they're going to be fine. This is going to be all right. They're going to go through it. They're going to buy it. And
totally.
No, don't try to outlawyer anybody on Twitter.
I know, right?
Unless you show me the bar exam, I don't believe you.
What is a bar?
I don't even fucking know. What does that even mean? So what I'm thinking here, it's difficult to say, because again, when I say they're not the leader anymore, Nintendo don't make the money that we really think they do. Like, again, PlayStation is the leader when it comes to, you know, Ains was literally just telling me the statistic. PlayStation makes more money than what is like Activision and Xbox combined.
Yeah.
Like, I think their profits are fucking insane.
Phil Spencer put out a statement today that said, like, with this acquisition, and I might get this wrong, I'm pretty sure he said something to the effect of, this now puts Microsoft in the number three spot behind Tencent and PlayStation. I'm almost certain that that's what he said. Like, with a $70 billion purchase, they're still not there with Sony.
Right.
That is crazy to me.
So PlayStation has time.
And yes. Oh, definitely.
They have 2.5 years to play catch up and really probably permission by their parent company to start throwing in some FU money, because PlayStation is not, you know, goddamn, they're all rich, but they're not endless pockets rich like Microsoft is. Mm-hmm. So they really have to make smart investments, smaller investments that are going to pay off. They have to be much more maneuverable. So to me, what I'm thinking with PlayStation is, this is the year to make Spartacus the thing, the reason why. And it doesn't, and I've said this on shows past, it does not have to, nothing has to kill one thing. For one thing to introduce, it doesn't need to beat the other thing. It
I doesn't think we even talked have about
to be,
last time.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be that competitive. It has to service your audience. So as long as they make a service that serves their audience, they are fine. If their service is not as good as Game Pass, but the audience digs it, that is the only thing that matters.
So are you saying that they should put the gamer at the center of
almost everything? Like an empty chair in the goddamn conference room. Yeah. Do some fucking hippie liberal shit like that, like Phil Spencer does. Do that here. Where, you know, they are putting their customers first. And first off, talk about the fucking balls move of Phil Spencer to say the day before this announcement, if PlayStation wants to compete, they need to put their games day and date with ours. We think that is. Like, they set the expectation for what I think they know Spartacus can't hit. And then just flat out, big dick swinging the next day. Say, like, and this is why, probably why, you're going to learn today why PlayStation needs to put their games in day and date.
It's intimidating. Said, if nothing else, it's intimidating. If you're in the Sony camp, if you're in the C-suite over there, you're looking at that going like, holy shit. Like, holy. And because, like, if you're in that spot, if you're in that kind of position, like some sort of like CEO or some sort of leader, like, you're actually not even really thinking about today. Really? Like, you're really thinking about like 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now. Like, that's really what you're thinking. So those guys are kind of aligning. They're all looking down the line. And that's what I'm saying to you. I'm like, I just don't know if this is a play for exclusivity games. Like, there's something bigger at play here.
Xbox's goal was not to beat PlayStation. I've been saying this from the fucking get, and like, it's just like on deaf ears. Xbox's goal was to be on PlayStation. That was the play.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you were going to go talk about Google and Amazon and everything, which I want to get to in a second.
And we absolutely fucking will.
Yeah.
Their goal was, we want to be on your TV, your tablet, your phone. Look, we even saw reports they are talking to Nintendo to get Game Pass on the Switch. It's not a, they're seeing Amazon and Google going, oh shit, this is the future. And if we don't buy in, they will. And if we don't partner up, they will come in and they will fucking wreck us. We'll wreck you guys and give us
and might even fierce wreck competition. The gaming industry, because they don't even know what the hell they're doing. So this is the, this is why I want to ask you about it. Like, and you're kind of saying maybe no to that almost pretty quickly. Like, what? I look at a company like Google and the approach they have to Stadia and how not centered on the gamer it is, and how it just doesn't seem to resonate with a lot of people because they just seem to get every element of that offering completely wrong. Like, what if they swung some big D energy and just like bought, what if Google bought Activision? Like, doesn't, I feel like that future is darker for gaming than this.
What if Amazon did that?
Like, and that's what, like, or Apple, or take your $1 trillion company and switch them around. And like,
that's why you probably saw what Microsoft did today, was that they saw their competition and go, who would we rather be competitors with? Sony?
Yeah.
Or do we want to be competitors yet again to Google in Amazon, because they've seen firsthand what Google is willing to do to chip into your OS sales. Right? So they're taking a look at it going, we're in this market and we need to put our imprint on it to scare off Google and Amazon.
Totally. Yes.
Definitely Apple. Amazon now.
Apple has to be part of this conversation as well. Like I just think they have like cash. Like I don't know the situation about any of these others, but I just feel like when you think about cash flow, it seems like Apple is just like flush.
But they're also like Apple, as much as I love them, they're also the company that's trying to remove a rib so they can suck their own dick, because they are that type of company.
Well, I think they're also like they might have gone somewhere else or a car.
Yes.
And I think Sony's going after cars as well, maybe. Like I think that's another thing. So, you know, at least like Microsoft is focused on a pretty centralized vision. Like, what does cars have to do with anything? Like, that's kind
of interesting. We're already in there. Yeah. We don't need to make our own cars. Yeah.
So I guess, like, you know, I'm glad, like I said, you and I can have these conversations, because I feel, and I think we might agree, that this, if it's going to happen, and it seems like this sort of thing is inevitable when you have $1 million or a few $1 billion companies being looked at from up above with these $1 trillion companies, like, this is just going to happen. This is just math. This is gravity. So it's just a matter of like, where does a conglomerate like Activision, Blizzard, King end up? Is it, what, take your pick? Apple, Microsoft, Tencent?
And see, that's the thing that's like the shitty situation that I feel here. It's just like, this is just the beginning of the consolidation.
It's just
end?
Another level. It's just another level. Like, I mean, look at what company are we talking about here right now? Activision, Blizzard, King. That's an amalgamation. Like, it's just, it's more levels. It just keeps going up and up and up. Like, that's like that company in and of itself, Activision merged with Blizzard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just, you're right. Like, it's just sad because now we're talking, like, it's just another level of intensity here. And the scale is way bigger than the partnership between Activision and Blizzard and then buying King. And what we just saw, what was it last week, was Zynga. Like, we knew what big was, but like, what else is there on the table here? This basically means, somebody said, I think it might have been Ryan Turford in my chat earlier today, like, this means anything is possible. This literally means anything is possible. Nothing is off the table anymore.
Yes.
They bought the biggest one. That was it. Like, aside from Google buying Microsoft, like, that's kind of like, I picture, remember Spore? Remember the game Spore?
Yeah.
You start off with like a cute little thing, and then like another guy, like, you evolve to another one, you eat another thing. Like, that's basically what we've got here. Anything is possible. They could buy Ubisoft if they wanted to. They could buy EA. Like, this is,
they could have bought Ubisoft, EA, and 2K.
Together? Is that what that valuation would be? Like, all combined?
All three of them. Bought Activision instead.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's the fuck you amount of cash that they have, because here's the thing so you might be wondering yourself, why Activision? We probably talked about this on the Trophy Room, so I'll give it a little bit of a different answer here, so it doesn't all sound the same. Why? It totally makes sense, right? Blizzard, PC, King, mobile.
Oh, yeah.
But the biggest thing is, those are all IP that they own. Remember when we were slow jerking it to the idea that they were going to buy WB Games?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that comes with the fact of how many contracts do you need to sign for Batman?
Yeah.
How many pieces of paper you need to sign for a Lego? How many transphobic slurs you have to go through to get a Hogwarts?
Good God. I don't know if she does any slurs.
That was a fucking good one, though. That's a good joke, and I think people are laughing. they're like, Jesus Christ. I was going to say, JK, just sign the goddamn paper. Let's leave. But yeah, so like, that's the thing. Like, Rocksteady doesn't own Batman, so you're going to have to go through a different type of process. So like, yeah, no, you probably don't want WB, because you want these IP to... or these teams to immediately start working on the next thing. So, yeah, that kind of doesn't make sense. And then you would have to buy into AT&T Discovery Warner. And then the real legalese starts really kicking in. So, you know, Microsoft's like, well, we don't want to be in entertainment. We want to be in video games, and we want to focus in on that. So we see that this one publisher has the most popular IP in the world, and then some legendary PC IP on top of that. I'll buy them.
Yeah.
And
World of Warcraft in Game Pass.
Absolutely.
And not another subscription. It's just based, all built in.
Dude, just think about it. You know, Overwatch skins, you know, Warzone skins, Warzone maps, right? Mm-hmm. Like the possibilities of this deal, you know, a goddamn Doom Candy Crush game. Suddenly want that now.
Yeah. And the other thing too is I think people sometimes, I don't know how it's going to work with Bethesda. I feel like Bethesda is still going to like kind of be on its own. That deal seemed a little bit different there, but I wanted you to think about how Microsoft bought Rare, and with that came along a dormant IP like Perfect Dark, and it just kind of like sat there and kind of appeared in 360, but most people want to forget about those days. And all of a sudden, like, but then that IP shows up in a completely different camp. It's not even remotely tied to Rare at all. But because it's under Xbox, because it's under Microsoft, like suddenly you've got something that was Rare is now at the initiative. Like where I'm going with this is I think that these IP can flow fluidly throughout all the different studios that they've got on hand. I just think that some people look at like, okay, well, Crash can come back because they'll just have Toys for Bob or whatever, do another Crash game. It's like that could go to Double Fine. Yeah. Honestly, like that's, and I'm just making it up as I go, but like that's the kind of thing that you could see some of these things just going all over the place. And I think that's where I'm interested, just as a fan of video games, just to see like it's a shakeup, even just in that bucket of now what is Xbox Game Studios. You go like, where's all this stuff going to end up? I think that's the more interesting part about it than just exclusivity.
Yeah. Bring back Vicarious Visions. Like, there's just so much.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. I was chatting about that on Twitch earlier today. Sure. Like, do you think, like, Microsoft bought a machine, basically, that has been working and generating cash for, you know, a number of years here. That they've got a model that they follow. They have an annualized series like Call of Duty. They have certain things that are working. And what I saw a lot on Twitter today was like, oh, now they can let Call of Duty have a break. Or now they can, like, change this and change that. Like, I don't think that's what's happening, like, even a little bit. I think a lot of what we see already happening that's active right now continue to happen for the most part.
They bought a No, Xbox is not leaving money on the table. What they're going to do is they're going to infuse those studios with more people so that they can make those games much more smoothly and streamlined. Call of Duty is too integral to Activision's bottom line to skip a year.
Yeah, and if we think
differently, we're living in goddamn La La Land.
It's too
tethered to Warzone. So, like, to me, you know, Phil Spencer said, we're not interested in tearing communities away from their games.
Yeah.
I really want to know what that means in depth. But Microsoft did not buy Activision for $70 billion so that they can make all their games on PlayStation. So I'm really thinking like, yeah, your Warzone's going to stay, but your yearly Call of Duty release, I give that 2-3 years tops.
Phil Spencer also went on to talk about they saw the roadmap that Activision had. And it was very similar to, oh man, there was another roadmap that they would have seen from somebody else. I guess it would have been Bethesda as well. Mm-hmm. And I just think that we don't even know what it is. Like that's it. We're all looking like we're looking in the past, like what has been happening. Well, like what's the most recent Warzone is often kind of brought up with this, but like what's next with Call of Duty? Like there might be something kind of gigantic coming up. What's next with World of Warcraft? Like there might be some sort of like revival kind of happening there. Must be some sort of plan to reclaim the top spot in that area as well. Like, I just think that that's where the benefits kind of lie. This notion of, everything else, it doesn't seem to stack up like that.
Think about it here for a second. PlayStation has Final Fantasy Online. Why can't Xbox have World of Warcraft?
Yeah. It would have to be a sequel. Ryan Turfer pointed this out, and I think I agree with him. And I think you've played it as well, probably more than like you can't do that. You need, it would require keyboard and mouse support on Xbox, which I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they go, you can do it. You can have Xbox or
you can do it, mouse. But so I wonder how they would do it, but yes, how World of Warcraft works. It's not a, you know, what is it, like a 14 input thing. It is a
exactly
dozens of inputs thing. You got all these key bindings and everything you got to do. And it's not that simple, but
maybe it's a WoW.
Crazier too. Things have happened.
Yeah. Well, they used to say the same thing about Diablo. You couldn't have Diablo on a console for whatever reason, you know, and probably less real reasons than what I think are very real reasons with World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
That they can't be there.
So this is why Microsoft went out to buy Activision. This is a well-oiled machine that knows how to print cash, and you know, it gives them a bargaining chip. What's that?
You know, pretty immediate returns. Like, this is the whole notion of, like, when will they make up that amount of money? It's like, well, that's going to take a long time, but you just have to think that was, like, it's hard to imagine. It was $70 billion sitting in a bank account, not earning interest, not earning a return. Like, go put it to work, have cash flow back, and that's actually, it puts you in a better spot. This is, we're slowly but surely, as, you know, armchair quarterbacks on here, slowly but surely learning.
We're getting better at this.
What are these deals? Yeah. Why do they do them?
Here's the thing. I'm not cheering this on. I feel like there's like this weird cheering on, like, talk about quarterbacks. I feel like a lot of us are fucking cheerleaders. It freaks me out, the level of, like, well, because Xbox did this, I'm going to clap. But God forbid if PlayStation did it, I'm going to boo.
Oh, I don't get that sense. I don't think so.
Oh, really?
So.
I do. It freaks me out.
Only because I think on the PlayStation side and the PlayStation camp, I feel like that's where the rules have been drawn up. That's like, because Xbox kept breaking all the rules. It's like, well, you can't do exclusivity like that. Like, we used to have Tomb Raider. Now you can't do it. Like, they create all these rules where, like, if this, then that, and blah, 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 then it's okay for us. But so, yeah, like, basically don't throw stones in a glass house kind of situation.
Oh, okay.
Right. And I actually encourage, I think, like, this is where things, like, get interesting to me is, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't like, at one part, it's like, yeah, no, I don't like the consolidation. Like, this does freak me out that in the span of 2 years, Microsoft bought the fifth and the, what is it, first or third largest publisher in the world. And they're just like, yeah, and this is ours now. It's like, that is scary. That is just, that is too much influence for one company to have. It's not the fact that it's Microsoft. Like I said on the Trophy Room, and I'll say it here now, if it was PlayStation doing this is also concerning, but it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So here's a question for you, kiddo.
We're still friends. Okay.
No, I fucking hate you. Do you have
Oh, damn.
Where else would you like to go with this conversation? Because I would like to go to Spartacus.
I think we can go there.
What does Spartacus look like to you, Mr. Sean Capri? And why do I make such an abhorrent Russian accent when you're supposed to be Greek?
I don't know. Here's what I think about Athens. I think what you're going to, even though Xbox and Microsoft are swinging around big D's around here, what I think is going to happen over in Japan is they're just going to continue to be really solid in their position as current market leaders, in that, like, the games that are on their systems are top tier IP and games that people really want to play. And so what that allows them to do is not copy what everybody else is doing. I think Phil Spencer is a little bit bold to say things like, if they don't put first party games day and date, then they're missing the boat. I wouldn't go that far. I do think that PlayStation Now has a ways to go. I actually think that they could go in a bit of a different direction.
And what direction still, is that?
Well, I think they can still kind of copy a little bit of what Xbox has been doing over the last couple of years and just say, like, PS3 backwards compatibility. Like, I think they can have, like, those moments that Xbox had that was like, holy crap, they did it. And that was a big deal for Xbox camp. But, like, the Xbox camp was a cute little village. Like, PlayStation Nation explodes with PS3, PS2, PS1 backwards compatibility. Like, I feel like if they crack that nut and wrap Spartacus around it, that's a big deal that can buy them at least a couple of years and get a lot of, you know, tens of millions. Maybe there's a new race to, like, tens of millions of subscribers. Right. Xbox is now 25 million subscribers. It was sort of like a bullet point, like, footnote in the announcement today, which is what happens when you spend $70 billion.
Which, can I get real for a sec?
Yeah.
Thought that number would be bigger.
Which?
Game Pass.
25, same here, totally. Which I think is why it was, like,
Xbox
at the bottom.
People
yeah.
freaking out when someone said it wasn't at 30
Take-Two, man.
A year ago or whatever. It's like, no, pretty recently. It's like, God damn it. It's like, shut up, you're an idiot. But yeah, I thought it would be a little bit bigger. And that's why I think PlayStation's a little apprehensive, where they're just like, we see where you're going with it, and I think we'll get there. It's just not as fast as you think we're going to get there.
I
think you're right. Again, like, it echoes what I said a few minutes ago. It's just like, as long as they make a service that makes their people happy.
Yeah, totally.
They're like, it's good. And so to me, First off, Spartacus needs to get revealed quick. I think that's coming in March.
Do you think quick? Yeah. I think later. I think you let this kind of die down. I think you let people kind of forget that it even happened.
Oh no, I mean like March we'll see it. Like March we're, sure. Okay. We're gonna see yep. what this yep. thing is. Mm-hmm. And then they're gonna have a learning period with it for a year of like what works and what genuinely doesn't. Yeah. But to me, and I want to know what you think of this. What do you think of, you know, people going, PlayStation has to respond with their own acquisition? Do you think that's necessarily the case? They're like, hey, you bought Activision, so we're buying Ubisoft, you pricks. Do you think that's the course of action? If so, who?
It's tough, man. Everybody, yeah. like, it's everybody's looking at sides of the world on this, and it's clear where Xbox is even able to make moves, and that's in North America. They know that they need to have some sort of presence in Japan. It just doesn't seem like they're able to do it using this strategy being acquisition. So yeah, does that leave a Square Enix? Does it leave, like, where is Sega in all this? Let's just be honest. Like, poor Sega's Sega. they gotta be being eyed up and down with this kind of thing. Like, they just don't have none of these companies have scandals. Like, who's next is Ubisoft. They're just like, shit, they just squashed all the crap that's going on in Activision. Like, Ubisoft's like, we're trying to take care of it.
But not really, just look away.
Everybody's Russian.
Yeah.
Eastern European, every developer is seeing Project Red.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's CD Projekt Red in this? That's the other thing. Like, I mean, who wants them at this point? You buy them at an all-time low.
Real talk, I don't think CD wants it. I don't think they ever wanted to be owned. They probably approached Ubisoft and went like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on in Iron Pass? Right. In terms of like how their production has been severely impacted by COVID. They probably looked at CD and CD was just like, no, we're good with GOG. Bye.
Yeah.
But we'll still work with you. And then they probably looked at Activision, all the scandals, and they're bored, not happy with Bobby, but saying that they were. And I hate saying Bobby by Kotick. So Kotick,
I know.
So like, it's just like, they probably went shopping around for a little bit, and some of them genuinely weren't interested, or some of them weren't. Their production line wasn't impressive by Xbox's standards, so they probably passed. When it comes to PlayStation, I genuinely feel like they will respond.
Yeah.
But it's just not going to be the way we think they are, and I don't like that. Like, everybody's saying Square, Square, Square. It makes sense because them and Square are pretty tight pals.
It's a process of elimination at this point.
That and
they're not really a whole lot less.
They're both Japanese companies. And, yeah. You know, I don't know the Japanese culture, surprise enough. So I don't know how acquisitions would work over there, nor am I a lawyer. But I would assume it's easier for Japanese companies to absorb Japanese companies. So that's probably
what you're seeing right now. You're seeing that it is.
And so that's probably the case. But here's the thing that I don't like. So I don't like the idea of another company absorbing another company because the culture changes. No matter how many times the company says the culture won't change, it does.
Yeah. And I mean, Activision's got to use Teams now. They got to abandon Slack.
Exactly.
Teams.
Yeah, got to use Teams. And Slack is just far superior. Anybody that uses Slack, you should know it's superior. That being said, when we're taking a look at, like, you know, Bethesda, they're like, oh, nothing's going to change. Bethesda, they're their own thing. And then when they went to buy Activision, like, we're going to make some fucking changes around here for the good.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to treat women with fucking respect for starters. It's like, whoa, okay. What? First off, I like those changes, but it's like, things will change when a company absorbs another one. So the fact that Square or whoever, we're just putting a name here, gets absorbed by Sony, that means the cultures change within that company. Mm-hmm. And it'll affect possibly PlayStation's production, but it will also affect whoever's production. That just doesn't sit right with me. I also think Sony's approach is also expanding the current teams that they have rather than just buying a shit ton of publishers, but I think they are going to respond. It's just not going to be with a publisher such a size of, you know, Activision or Bethesda. Yeah,
they have to clone some of their people. That's what they're going to be investing into, some sort of cloning technology.
They're going to put shoe in the tube.
Can you imagine? Well, that's the other side too. Like, hello, everyone. Where, like, there's a lot of different angles here. Xbox is going big. They, like, Sony could swing exclusive deals. They could continue to do that. They could revitalize their relationships with indies. That's also been something that's been really dire. You know, and now it's to the point where, like, Xbox is going to have releases through Game Pass of, like, AAA quality that PlayStation has had and Nintendo has had with indie quantity. Yeah. Like, you have all these is overflowing. You're never missing a day without some sort of game being released. And it's like, you're going to have like that kind of quantity issue with like AAA games. So the thing that, you know, on Xbox's side, I feel like I've only really heard one person bring this up is, yeah, they're making all these purchases, but it's like, what's the sustainability of this? Like, what is one thing to drop $70 billion in cash to acquire the thing, but now you got to operate the thing. And you got to have all these things running in time, and it's a gigantic machine that, like, these games got to hit. And I don't even know if you can have a coordinated strategy on the types of games that land when. Like, it was much easier to do when you had 7 studios or right. even 20 studios. Like, do you have a situation where you have, like, a Call of Duty and a Halo dropping at the exact same time as a Quake and I don't even know what else? Like, all these shooters drop at the same time, or Avowed and Fable and all these other Western RPGs that are coming out. How do you make that all work? I think that part is going to be a challenge that nobody else like PlayStation has to really focus on. They can still be agile.
Yeah. And you don't want it to be like a Netflix where like there's some shit that just drops and gets overshadowed because right. I don't know, like a goddamn Stranger Things or a Squid Game comes mm-hmm. out and you just totally forget about those shows.
Exactly.
So you do yep. want premier things. And
yep.
I think the idea of Xbox probably laying out a rough outline of like, here's what we kind of expect from you here. Here's what we're expecting from you here. And here's what we're expecting from you here. Is probably the way that they're going about it. But that's mm-hmm. true. It's also, look at the companies they're picking up. They already have their own structure put in place for yeah. these types of things.
Oh, that reminds me. I wanted to ask you about sort of like the approach that it seems like Xbox might have versus the approach that PlayStation has had. It's not that they're not doing acquisition the same. And I think the scale of purchases is the obvious part. But I think what's less obvious is when you look at a company like Bethesda, what trajectory were they on when they were purchased? I think the argument could be said that if they were flat, if not declining.
They were declining.
What was the trajectory for a company like Activision Blizzard King? At least in the moment, not great, flat, if not declining. So they're being opportunistic in their purchases. They know sure. that they want to be swallowing these things up, but they kind of have to wait for somebody to take a big hit for them to go, now you're interested. Like that's the only thing that they've got to have a little give and in order to walk themselves into the boardroom and make these deals happen. But you have a different strategy and a different trajectory with the studios that Sony is acquiring, where I would say they are buying them on the upswing.
Yeah.
Like they haven't quite hit it in some cases, or maybe even they have, and it still doesn't really matter. But I don't think that you could say the same with what Sony has done so far in that, like, I don't think any of those acquisitions go like, yeah, they were on the down low. Like they're like Housemarque. I think they got them. Did they not do it after Returnal? Did they not buy after Returnal?
No, they bought after Returnal. But what I said,
yeah, that's up. Like if they bought them before that, I would say that's like when they were kind of down.
So from what I understand, no inside source, just whatever. From what I understand, they were in a situation where if Returnal didn't, they were working on Returnal, mm-hmm. right? If Returnal did not hit, they were going under.
Sure.
Sony liked Returnal.
Right.
They took Returnal and said, here's this PlayStation 5 game. While working on Returnal, they're like, we have a really good relationship with you. We want to see how Returnal does and we'll pick you up like a little baby bird.
That's kind of what I mean. I feel like that kind of proves the point that, yeah, like,
so but
that,
like their wing was hurt. So right. they're just like, here you go. Now you're in a safe place because we know you're very talented. You just haven't had that commercial success, and we're going to give you that commercial success.
Yeah.
Bluepoint was not on that trajectory. They were doing fine. They're a port studio. They're a remaster studio. They're the best in the fucking biz when it comes to that. I'll play God of War HD. Bluepoint. believe that.
Oh, okay. Well, think about it. I think there's a couple ways we can look at it. That's one way, and maybe there's two. Maybe there's an alternative perspective on that that sure. I hadn't considered that you just laid out. The other perspective I want to lay out, which is, what is Sony really valuing at the moment? And it all circles around this Days Gone seemingly controversy that's going around. That the Days Gone game sold like a gazillion copies. It did really well, but it didn't review well. And there's all these comments coming out from those who know the situation closer than I do that it's like, Sony, yeah, they care about sales, but there's a prestige that they're after. And that's kind of also what I'm getting at here is they are buying studios on the when they are securing themselves as like quality studios that add to that prestige that we all know. And you feel a thing when Sony Interactive Entertainment shows up on the black, like in the white text on the black screen, like that makes you feel something, you know, you're in for something of quality.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what they're doing. That's not what Xbox is doing at all. Not to take anything away from the studios they're acquiring, but that's a different strategy.
So, and just to put it to the layman, just so, you know, we don't get yelled at. I get what you're saying. I think what PlayStation values the most is partnership. We've worked with you. We have a working relationship with you. We understand how each other thinks. We finish each other's
sandwiches.
And we're good for each other. And that's probably how they're bringing in folks, right? Yeah. Or they're like, when it comes to Nixus, we've heard great things about you. We need people on the up and up. And you go, right? So, yeah, they don't go after things that go after them. That being said, not to discount Bethesda or Activision because their games are superb. It's just at the time with Bethesda, they weren't doing well because their games were not hitting the way that they thought they would. So like games like Fallout 76, games like Prey, games like Dishonored weren't doing the numbers that they thought they would because they were taking a lot of risk and it wasn't pulling out for them. That's why they made the deal with Deathloop. When they say if it wasn't for PlayStation, Deathloop wouldn't have been made, they are 100% right. Ghostwire Tokyo, as mid as that game looks, would not be made if it wasn't for PlayStation. PlayStation did put some money behind these games and some protection for them to take those creative risks. That's why they also went after Starfield. Bethesda wasn't in the best place that we perceive. So when Xbox comes around with some fuck you money, those investors go, all right, and we're done. Like there's, it's an easier sell. Again, not
imagine
to just
like that allowed them to finish it.
Yeah,
Starfield. Like they had their biggest things. Like those big hitters. Like everything else was supposed to fill in the gaps. Like I feel like that's the model that Bethesda had was, in between Elder Scrolls and the Fallouts and the Starfields, you'll have the Dooms and the Wolfensteins and whatever else to kind of fill in. And when Prey and Dishonored and those things like don't really light the world on fire, they go, ooh, snap, like we gotta get some security here. And that's
and where look, Microsoft Deathloop comes in. Did not light the world on fire commercially. That game.
Well, and that's where the model changes completely. Ryan and I talk about this all the time. Like that's where recurring revenue is what you need. Like you can't spend years and years and years. And this is where I disagreed with Sean Layden's take on this years ago, which is I think that recurring revenue model. Well, I like it, and I like Sean Layden a lot. I think he was great. But I think he was wrong about this, is that this allows you to take crazy risks because you're not developing a game that you really only have like one shot to make your money back on. Yeah. You have launch day, and that's kind of make or break it, unless you're Control.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. It goes into PlayStation's strategy that we're starting to see. So a lot of studios that they're kicking up are doing like VR stuff within their studios or giving it to Fire Sprite. We're seeing multiplayer games starting to kick up and be talked about. All hail Twisted Metal. Cannot wait. But like that's why you're seeing them go out and do either smaller AA projects, multiplayer projects, and then their big games that you know them for is because they know they need to diversify their portfolio. So if I was PlayStation, I am genuinely looking at companies that are going to diversify our portfolio because the thing that we are now missing is a key multiplayer game that people give a fuck about and RPGs.
Well, you brought up VR, and I think it might be a game of semantics when I talk about this, but I don't see VR as diversifying. I see it as subdividing the portfolio. Like diversifying to me would be like in addition to, like it's separate from, but right. PlayStation VR is reliant on PlayStation 5. Like you need to have one to have the other. And so it's
right
sort of
now
like
it is.
It's niche.
Right now yeah. it is.
Yeah, yeah, like it's got to be able to, in order for that to really have legs, it's got to, you need the PC market. Like, this is crazy on all fronts.
And that's the next thing that PlayStation sees, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. If I was PlayStation, I would have actually said, VR's great. I get where they're going because they're going to try to tackle their version of the metaverse in VR.
Yeah.
I don't think metaverse is here yet. I think that's a 10-year out thing. Even when Microsoft says it, it skews me out. But nonetheless, they are putting their games on PC is telling because it really goes to show this is what the future is. And again, I'm going to give credit to Ains because I hate his fucking guts. But here
he is. Why? Why are you so mean?
Like Satya said, I don't know. This is a thing. He roasted me really good in a private DM. because it got dyslexic at one point. And I literally told him, like, dude, I'm dyslexic. He's like, oh shit, I'm so sorry.
Did you see Paramore and My Chemical Romance are headlining a lineup for When We Were Young festival?
Yeah. Also, people, God damn it, stop DMing me all so much. Again, all these DMs, I don't know.
AFI, Bright Eyes, Taking Back Sunday, The Used, Jimmy Eat World, Dashboard Confessional.
Here you go.
What the heck?
Here you go.
Avril Lavigne?
Oh, God, Avril. So I put out a tweet and I had a misquote in there. And Ains goes to me, turn off autocorrect or on the opposite of what it's set at now. I was literally on a call with Luke and I died. Because I'm like, what a sick roast. Anyway, but what he was saying is like, the future is whatever has a processor on it, we want our thing to be there. And I think what Luke said on our Cast Co-op episode is like, the metaverse is the login.
Yeah.
So that's where I think the metaverse is actually going. You being connected to an ecosystem that just transcends one platform. It's going through multiple. It's a very, it's a weird concept.
You spend so much time at the beginning of this focusing on how gross it is that like one company is going to swallow up all these other companies. How about we just throw up for a couple of minutes about the freaking metaverse and how I don't want that at all.
This is what you want.
I don't want
this
it.
This is just another level.
This is me being grateful for just my mortal coil. Like,
yeah, I know.
The next generations can have it. I'll die having enjoyed my time on this planet.
Yeah, just like that one song. Do we really want to live forever? Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not.
Thank God for Twilight. Nonetheless, that's probably where they're going. But they're thinking it's in VR, and I don't think it's in VR yet. I think it will be one day, but not yet. But that being said, I think PlayStation's most important thing is fulfilling that portfolio and getting permission from their parent company to actually go out there and spend some fucking money to go out there and to make a point that going, hey, we're still here and we're still competitive.
I think the biggest thing that people can remember of it.
And again, I don't want that, but
years,
I probably find like that's going to probably happen.
It just, so the flip side of this was what we constantly heard in Xbox land, which was, Xbox needs a Last of Us killer. It needs a Uncharted killer. It needs like something like that. And it's like, you feel the desperation where you're trying to do what the other guy is doing and clearly they're doing it great. You know what I mean? Like they just,
it's like when COG tries to appeal to the Xbox, man, like, hear me out, just one. COG's really meaning just a few, but he's trying to be political about it because I love that man.
Will be Hellblade. Hellblade is that. Absolutely. As close as they think they're going to get to it.
Hellblade in whatever the fuck Obsidian's doing. Everybody sleeps on in Exile. Like there's like Fable.
Those are quality, but that's not a Sony game. Like those will be great. I have no doubt. But that's not what I mean when like do what Sony does. And this is like
Just do what they do, but better.
Yeah, exactly. Like they can't. Sony, they just can't. They can't play the acquisition game, and I don't think that they will. I think what they'll do.
I swear to God, they will dabble.
This is when you make a $70 billion move, it doesn't even take doesn't even the ink doesn't dry until June 2023. What happens is if Xbox is playing this gigantic, really long, long game, actually what it opens up a big runway wide open for PlayStation to like wreak havoc in the next 3 years. Like instantaneous changes that they can make. They can say Final Fantasy 16 is exclusive over here and a lot of things like that. And I think you're going to see that because, yeah, there's 25 million Game Pass subscribers, and that's like something that Xbox probably is proud about at this point. But there's, like I said, PlayStation Nation is gigantic. And if you cater to that audience, they will do very, very well.
Yeah, and I think so. The one thing that I nobody told me shit. I got to preface this, or else people think it's just I'm not trying to talk out of my ass. As what I've just heard from like people like Imran Khan on Twitter, where it's like, you know, people that actually know stuff. I just listen and try to play that mental chess game. So, you know, and a few folks have kind of talked about the notion that Xbox wants that number obviously to be bigger, and they thought they'd be at that number by now. But mm-hmm. they know that they can be. So, like, they know if they hit 30 million that this is something that AAA publishers will take note of. Yeah. And at 50 million, that is their sweet spot, and that's probably when they're going to jack that price up, because the $15 a month is just the growth number. So yeah. Just like with Disney Plus, which is always the example I use because it's the best example, they were literally, what, like $5-6 a month? That was their growth number to hit 100 million. And when they hit 100 million, they just clocked that number back up, right? So they got you in. That's the whole mission of that $15 or that $1, whatever the fucking amount is. Get you in, get you locked in, and get you either forgetting about it or getting you to go, no, this is fine.
Nintendo did like, oh, look what Disney did over there. We can do the same thing. And they double their price and they throw Animal Crossing in their offering. It's just like, good God, that's not what they did. That's not the same thing. Yep. Sorry, Nintendo, you didn't.
Listen, you didn't do it right. You wouldn't be welcoming on the Nook, the Nintendo Nook, that's for sure.
I was just saying to Kato today, I'm like, I mean, I even bought it. But like, let's be honest, like, that thing is a mess.
That's a piece of shit. So
PlayStation's dead.
So PlayStation, long short of it, PlayStation's dead. Microsoft's also dead because they spent too much money. No, but you're right. PlayStation has, I think the thing that we're forgetting is we forget that PlayStation is number one. They're literally the king.
Yeah.
They're about to be dethroned, I do think. But right now, they're the king. They have time. And what they do with that time is the thing that's going to be important.
Yeah.
So how do you make it proud? It's their legacy,
man. Yeah. It's the one thing that nobody can ever buy away from them. It's their legacy. And that's why I do think backwards compatibility hits harder, louder, longer for PlayStation than it ever did with Xbox. They just have to do it right. Like, that's the thing is, like, the bar is pretty high. If you're going to take on backwards compatibility, like, there's a lot of perks. Like, they did it really, really right. So I think that's the key. That when I talk about like the long road ahead for Xbox and how some of these changes won't even like impact it to the casual observer, you won't even know that like anything even happened.
Yeah.
You could do something like backwards compatibility and suddenly you don't even know, like, you're waiting for Call of Duty to be exclusive on Xbox. It's like, okay.
Real talk. My brother's like, they bought Call of Duty. My brother hasn't played Call of Duty in like 2012 or something. I'm like, I know.
You have to buy it.
Yeah.
Game Pass.
But my brother's just like, he's such a pony. He's such a fanboy sometimes.
Yeah.
Because again, Microsoft burned him and he burned him good. So he's just like, fuck him. He's like, seriously, what are they going to do? Buy the whole fucking thing? This is bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy a Call of Duty. I'm like, Dan, when's the last Call of Duty you bought? I don't even care. It's not the point. I don't like this.
Well, that's fair. And that's why I like talking about it, because I think everybody has their initial reaction. Mine, I think even still, continues just to be like, holy shit.
This is
not even real. That was, what a day.
I can't wait to talk to Kyle about this, man. Because Kyle's in his feelings about this.
I'll bet, yeah.
And rightfully so, because like, it's just like, what the fuck? Like, there is a side.
He's a principled guy. He set his rules. This is what I was kind of talking about before, maybe to a lesser extent, not as like ponyisms, but he sort of said, this is what's allowed and this is what's not allowed. And this is one of the things he said before that's like, just not allowed. This goes against what he was kind of outlining before. So, you know, this is, he's consistent.
Yeah. And with that said, let's close out the show. Everybody, thank you all so much for supporting us the way you do. It's the reason why the Console War Room keeps on churning and we keep on fighting. So make sure you follow me over at Mr. Badbit. Make sure you follow Sean at Sean Capri. And of course, everybody, thank you all so much for your support. We'll see you next month.